Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Okay, this is, I'm doing the second story first because it's ridiculous. Who doesn't love a good Almond Joy, though, by the way? Like, Almond Joy is a delicious candy bar. It's delicious. We all know this. Don't think I'd react like this, though. All right, so the story goes that, and this is this, it's this sheriff who said that, it's Sheriff Grady Judd. So what happened is he says that this it's a grandmother to grandson. The grandmother buys an Almond Joy candy bar for her Florida grandson. And she left it because he was asleep. So she left it on his laptop, his computer. So left it on his laptop. Well, then it melted. And then he saw that the Almond Joy melted on his laptop. And he got mad and ran over his grandma. In Winter Haven, Florida. Oh, and then he had to get shot. Henry Maynard. By the way, he has two first names, and you guys know how I feel about that. Polk County Sheriff's Deputy says that Henry Maynard, 19, he was at his grandma's house in Winter Haven. Grandma let the Almond Joy on his candy bar, on his laptop. It melted. He woke up, saw it, and he went into a rage. Then he ran to his parents' house, got a car, which he's not supposed to drive because it wasn't registered, didn't have a license. Grandmother called the parents. They rushed over to the house. Maynard called 911, said he's about to commit a crime. And then he ran over his grandma. And then he hit a patrol car of the deputy who had responded to the situation. Then, because we're not finished, he ran to the driver's side of the deputy's car, started trying to climb inside the car, and the deputy shot him and killed him. Sheriff Grady Judd said he was out of control. Clearly, he was previously arrested for aggravated battery of a law enforcement officer. The grandmother's in the hospital with a broken arm, but she's in stable condition. Yeah. Wow. So that's that guy. Lord. Over a melted. I mean, can I just if you have the time to run physically with your feet to your parents' house to get a car to drive over your grandma at any point. Does the rage just subside and you're like, the hell am I doing? You know, and you just kind of stop, right? At any point, like for a normal person, you might think, yeah, okay. I don't know. All right. So I know, gosh, there are so many that are good here. Okay. A Florida man was accused of hiding stolen Walmart items in the bushes outside of the store. It's his hidey spot. In the Villages. It is a Villages story. A 37-year-old man was arrested after he allegedly stole over $300 worth of Walmart merchandise and tried to hide it in the bushes right outside the store, according to Sumter County Sheriff's Office. Jabari Bush is facing three counts of larceny and one count of dealing in stolen property after the incident that unfolded in Walmart. Deputies responded. The loss prevention officer said the man had left the store with a shopping cart full of merchandise and then hid it in the bushes. They found it. It was a mini electric dirt bike, two pairs of work boots, baby items in a pool. Tomorrow, we'll talk about the woman who flipped off surveillance cameras, crashed through a school gate for special needs students, and did donuts in the basketball court before running down wheelchairs at 50 miles an hour. We'll talk about her tomorrow as we move. Our partners that help bring you free radio, Kel-Tec, American-made, Florida-based company. I love Kel-Tec, and you guys know I don't go anywhere not strapped. I love Kel-Tec. They make so many awesome things, and that's a great American success story. And with Kel-Tec, one of the ones that they really are wanting everybody to be aware of, which is why we've been talking about it for months, is the Sub 2K Gen 3. They make a lot of other stuff, but the Sub 2K Gen 3, this carbine folds right in half. It's like gun origami. It's light, it's foldable, it's effective. Now, the difference, there's several differences between the Gen 3 version and the previous iteration. So the Gen 3, you don't have to detach your optics anymore to fold in half. It just folds in half quick and easy and just as quickly and easily deploys as well. You have an upgraded action, redesigned operating handle for added comfort. That lightened action adds for easy racking. You have an ambidextrous bolt hold open. All quality made right here in the U.S. of A. See everything that Kel-Tec has to offer for yourself by hitting up their website, KelTecWeapons.com. Follow them on social media. That's KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Are you Darcy Waldron?
Yeah.
Okay, from Cayuga. And you think that the shooter should have been a better shot? Is that what you posted on Facebook?
I am at work.
You think that the shooter should have been a shooter, huh?
I am at work.
Yeah, I think that's pretty messed up. pretty anti-American, if you ask me. As a veteran, I'm disgusted. What have you provided to this country? Huh? I'm sorry. This is ridiculous. You are ridiculous. And I'm making you famous.
I don't know if this is a real quote or not, but was it Mike Tyson who said that some of the people, you know, they're real brave and they say some of the stuff online because they don't get hit in the face or something to that effect? I just feel like people are always super brave online, but then in person, they get real meek, you know, and they kind of cower. And that's what, so this lady was at Home Depot and she made a stupid remark about the attempted assassination of the former president, potential next president of the United States. You know, this is not, I just think out of all the things you're going to joke about and say something asinine about, maybe not that. And now there's this like huge argument on the right now about cancel culture. And I am, in this instance, I think I'm legit right in the middle because I told you guys last hour, yeah, I don't know if I want reconciliation. I really don't. I really don't think so. Because I've been targeted by cancel culture. A lot of my friends have been targeted by cancel culture. And the only time in my 17 plus year career and as an activist or as, you know, part of the commentariat that I've ever seen the left flinch has been when these rules have been used against them. And then they're all of a sudden, oh, well, you know, maybe I should take inventory of this. I wanted to talk to my friend Nick Searcy about this because he made a really good point. And all of my friends are arguing about this. But I feel like Nick Searcy has a little bit more gravitas with this because he's literally under the microscope in Hollywood. Everybody knows who he is. He's lived through all of this. He's been able to thrive in spite of all of this. He's got a book out, Justify This, A Career Without Compromise. You know, he was behind Capital Punishment, the movie. And he's, you know, writer, director. Everybody knows who Nick is. He made this response because my friend Kurt Schlichter said, there's controversy about this because it's unpleasant, but we've been betraying our own powerless people if we don't use the power we have to protect them. And Nick wrote, yes, damn right, my friend, they made these rules and it's time. Now it's their turn to not pass go and go directly to jail or the unemployment line. And he joins me now via Skype. Nick, always so good to see you. I mean, am I wrong in that? Like, I'm in the middle of it and I feel like maybe randos and politicians should be measured differently. But at the same time, how long have we dealt with this? How long have people on the right been targeted by people on the left and had their livelihoods upended and had their characters impugned because of stuff like this?
At least since the election of Obama and since when Trump, you know, the January 6th event. I know so many people in Hollywood whose lives were ruined by the COVID mandates that they dared to question the vaccine. And so many actors that, you know, you might not know their names. They're not as famous as a big star like me. But, you know, there's guys like Jay Johnston, fired from his show, Bob's Burger, immediately after it was revealed that he was at January 6th. All of his Hollywood friends, he was very well connected, worked with people like Jack Black and Bob Odenkirk. All of them shut him down, turned him off. Canceled. My friend Siaka Massaqua, same thing, lost his agent, lost everything. And the fact of the matter is, Dana, we on the right can't cancel anybody. The thing that happened to Jack Black's people, that guy being dropped by his agent, that's his own fear-based leftist agent canceling him. We can't do it. I can't cancel Bob De Niro any more than I've already canceled him, any more than I've just said I'm not going to put any more money in that guy's pocket. But we don't have the power. The only way this stops is when the left stops doing it. So until they stop doing it, we need to do it right back to them.
That's a really good point. And one that Kane was talking about, too, on break. Like we had, like the right kind of has the power of the purse. And we, as you just said, I mean, as most as you can do is to not put your money in other people's pockets. But they control these cultural institutions.
Absolutely right. I know even in my own experience, I mean, I have certainly not suffered as much as some people. But in my own experience, right after it was, you know, January 6th, I got a call from my agent. I just, you know, my agent who never calls me, he says, I just got a call from a casting director, says that you were in the building. Were you in the building? And I go, no, why? He said, she has a picture of somebody she says is you, and she's circulating it throughout all of the other casting directors in Hollywood, telling people, you know, Nick Searcy went in the building. We should never hire him again. And this casting director was a good friend of mine, somebody I had known for 25 years. So that I don't know how much, a lot of the actors in Hollywood certainly don't know how much of a price they've paid. Some of them do. Like, I don't know how many roles that, you know, I might have done.
Right.
But I don't want to focus on that because I'm grateful for what I have. And I'm glad that I'm able to stand up for what I believe. And
yeah.
But I have no sympathy for these people. If you can grasp that from my passion.
I couldn't tell from this Peabody Award winning actor. I couldn't tell that he had no sympathy for him. We're talking with our good friend Nick Searcy. In this instance, like you mentioned the Jack Black thing, and I don't know why people. I saw immediately Jack Black had his. It looked like, I guess, his machine tried to rehabilitate him. But he was at that Los Angeles fundraiser for Biden, what, a week ago, where he was recorded on stage saying that he thought that the former president was a threat to democracy, which are, I guess that's just a meaningless slogan to them. But apparently, you know, it carries weight because someone tried to kill Trump on Saturday. So why Kyle Gass just had the balls to say what they both thought?
Yeah, they just said it out loud because they think nothing will ever happen to them. And, you know, that's the thing. What do they think is going to happen when they demonize a whole group of people? They call Trump Hitler. They call him a threat to democracy over and over again. He's a racist. He's a Nazi. He's Hitler. What's the biggest question anybody ever asked? The biggest hypothetical. If you had the chance to go back in time and kill Hitler, would you do it? You know, that's the question. So they call him Hitler for 8 years and then somebody tries to kill him and they act shocked.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Talking with our friend Nick Searcy, this woman with Home Depot, do you think that there's a difference between like the Jack Blacks or like the Adam Schiffs? And then I don't even know this lady's name at Home Depot. I mean, should we incorporate like different measures or is it just like one? Because I'm and this is where I get torn, like on randos versus people who are in the public sphere, because I agree with both sides of this. I don't know if I want, honestly, reconciliation with anyone. I feel like, we've been through this. We've endured it for so long. And like I said, the only way that the left takes notice is when we use these rules against them. Why is it incumbent upon us to be the people who are always the merciful people and always the one who take the licks? I mean, should we apply these different standards if it's a rando versus like a politician or a celebrity?
I say no. I say no because I think of all the randos on our side that have been tortured by these people for 8 years, that have been run out of their jobs. They're afraid to wear their MAGA hat because they know what will happen to them. They're afraid to put a Trump sticker on their truck because they know somebody will key it. I say we have to treat all of them exactly the way they've been treating us so that they know what it is, so that they have a moment of self-reflection rather than just constantly projecting their hatred onto us and making us the only ones that pay the price. Let them pay the price.
My only concern in the right is not because for the left. I'm not concerned about the left. Are you worried about using the left's tactics that we would become more like them? Because I don't know how to answer that. I mean, I can state it as like a concern, but I don't know what's in people's minds or hearts. And I don't know if we would ever, I can't see the right becoming like the left in that regard.
No, I don't fear that at all, because we have for the most part on the right, we have a higher power that we tend to moderate our behavior because of that. They don't have that on the left. They don't care. They're willing to do anything because they think that the power means everything. They're right by any means necessary. That's one of their slogans. So, no, we're not going to be like them, even if we fight the same way they fight. It's like, you know, if somebody challenges you to a fight, you bring the same weapon that he brings. There's no way you're going to have a fight if you know, you're just going with your fists and he has a flamethrower. You know, that is just the way it works. So
I think that
makes
sense.
I hope that answers the question. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it does. You mentioned, too, that the left's they're the only people who can stop this. And I know that there are like some people out there like Jerry Seinfeld, who I know we don't agree with on everything, on some of the woke and cancel culture. He said some things and I'm like, OK, that's pretty reasonable. You know, it seems like he's getting it, but he's obviously not enough. What is it going to take? Because apparently, like they've been targeting him at his stand-up routines because of some of the stuff that he said against cancel culture. So at what point do more of them speak out, or is it just they see what people like Seinfeld or these other guys go through and they're like, okay, that's it, I'm not going to say anything?
They have to be beaten. I mean, and I mean that electorally. I don't mean physically, but they have to be defeated. That's the only way. And the way you do it, the only way they will wake up is when they realize that the tactics they've been using on us can be used on them.
Yeah.
That's the only way they will ever wake up. And that's why I say no mercy, No, you know, forgiveness is one thing. I can forgive them in my heart, but they can still suffer the consequences of what they've done.
Do you just maybe think of something? Do you think that that's what happened with the Kyle Gass thing with where his agent dropped him? Do you think that that was sort of them realizing, oh, is that an effect of this, of that accountability? Because you said that, you know, they were afraid of, I guess, being associated with what he had said, and so they wanted to get away from him. Is that maybe like a success? Would you count it as a success of the right kind of using that tactic against the left, and so they just decided to act of their own accord?
I don't want to give them too much credit. I think that they probably just reacted out of fear. They're just like, oh, this is bad. We need to get away from this. It's bad. Everybody says it's bad. Let's get away. That's the way Hollywood works. They don't really think anything past their own self-interest, especially on the agency side.
Yeah.
So that, I think that's what that I don't think they're having a moment of revelation or anything.
That's a good point. One last question for you, my good friend Nick Searcy. You're so kind to join us. We were like, we got to have Nick on today after what we were all talking about online. The president is going to be speaking on Thursday, and I don't know if he had an address already figured out, but it said that I read one report where they kind of went back to the drawing board and they were going to craft something that was a little bit more, obviously, a little bit more about maybe unity. I don't know what that would sound like, but if for Trump to come out and make remarks about, what are you anticipating Thursday? Like, if he was talking about unity, how would that sound?
You know, I don't know. I think his speech is the most anticipated thing, at least for me personally. I haven't looked forward to anything like this for a long time. I think what happened on Saturday when I saw him react the way that he did, I burst into tears. And I was so moved by his courage to stand up after somebody tried to kill him and do that. I don't know. It'll be... I can't answer that. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know what he's going to say. But I will say that when I saw him walk in on that first day of the RNC, to me, he looked visibly emotional and visibly moved.
It was unusual. He was very moved.
And I think he's having a realization that he's still alive and God kept him alive for a purpose.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of is going to be expressed by his speech on Thursday.
That's a speech that you and many others, I don't know if there's ever been a speech at a convention so anticipated as this one. And we're going to see exactly what the president says. My good friend Nick Searcy, make sure you go and get his book because it's out now and you can find it anywhere books are sold. Justify This Career Without Compromise. And make sure you check out Capital Punishment, his movie. And you can find him, you know, on X. Yes, Nick Searcy. I almost said Twitter. Nick, so good to see you. God bless you, my friend. So appreciate you joining us.
God bless you, Dana. Okay, thank you. Take care.
Hi, I'm George, an economics major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arnn with the Constitution Minute.
The Declaration of Independence is more than a bold letter to a British king written by upstart colonists, although it very much is that. The Declaration explains the promise of America, that all men and women are born equal in their possession of natural rights, and that the proper exercise of these rights can lead to a full and deeply satisfying life. Just as the Declaration explains America's promise, the Constitution upholds that promise. Its purpose is to protect the rights of all of us, our natural rights. This establishes the possibility, not the guarantee, that we can have a good life. This is true freedom.
To learn more and get a free pocket Constitution, visit ConstitutionMinute.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So because the EU is just a giant vacuum of suck, they've demanded that cars be fitted with speed-limiting AI tech. But there is a loophole about it, The Sun reports. All cars have to be fitted with the speed-limiting AI tech due to new EU rules. And it can't slow the vehicle down for you if it catches you breaking the speed limit, in which case I hate AI now, even more than I ever did. It's called Intelligent Speed Assistance, which is your nanny speedometer. The speedometer nanny, that's what it is. It became a legal requirement because the EU decided to pass a law because they hate humanity. And it came into effect on July 7th. So They use AI GPS data, even onboard cameras, to assess your speed in real time as you drive along, and then intervenes if you go above the limit. What if, like, you're being chased by a bullet bill type truck loaded with, like, explosives, and you've got a speed to get out of the way, and then AI is like, no, and slows you down? Like, what if? You know, there's, like, all these what ifs. And it can assess things like road markings, all this stuff. I think this is so stupid. This is so dumb. Maybe you guys should get, I don't know, like, your country's getting entirely taken over by people who are entering illegally. And, like, they're raping everybody on the street. I don't know. Your taxes are crazy. Like, you can't even pay anything towards your own GDP for your own self-defense. Maybe, I don't know, get all that in order first before you start freaking out over speed. Anyway. Exclusive, 4 in 5 Americans, says this new poll. 4 in 5 Americans fear the country is sliding into chaos. It's only 4 in 5? Only? I would think 5 out of 5. The interesting story, and by the way, this is why the right is with the RNC and their platform have been working towards blue collar, because they said the influx of people coming into the country is cooling the U.S. job market, considering that a lot of it's illegal entry. And of course, all the jobs, remember the jobs created? Government jobs? Yeah, uh-huh, exactly. 5,000 feral pigs were killed to save a California national park. The Channel Islands National Park was dominated by all kinds of tiny foxes. And then they got pigs and all kinds of stuff. This is a horrible article that was written over at San Francisco Gate, because they don't even know how to write a balanced lead. But basically, they said that, you know, the wild pigs, they had to cull them. They had to deal with them. But yet I was told that that wasn't a problem, like, in rural parts of the country. When you bring it up as to why you need, like, X caliber of rifle, and the left is like, there's no feral hogs. Where the red fern grows isn't a real story. Remember?
And yet this was also showmanship by a politician known for his mastery of what they call unscripted reality TV. Taking this supremely visible seat in the VIP box with his new running mate and party leaders and a longtime TV personality, Tucker Carlson, up there as well last night. Here's how the New York Times put it. On the first night of this convention, Trump was his own biggest prop. He entered the VIP box, a large white bandage on his injured right ear, the result of a close call on Saturday with a would-be assassin's bullet. A reminder of mortality, a badge of survival. It was a blank rectangle on which the crowd could read what it wished. And that made it the most potent placard in the hall. That's fair.
Oh, my gosh.
For delegates to fill in, an image for political mobilization, a spectacle for this candidate who we know is, by his own admission, obsessed with a sort of
turnabout's
spectacles.
Fair play. These rat bastards, if that killer would have lived, they would have put a medal around him at a White House ceremony and stuck him in the front row for the DNC in August. Are you kidding me? Well, you know, they're mad because that's MSNBC. They're mad because he had a bandage on his ear and it reminded everyone that a leftist tried to blow his brains out. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We're at the bottom of this first hour. And that's exactly what it is. They're mad. I have the story, too. What news agency was it? I have it in, I sent it out in headlines and I forgot which one it was. The news agency that was saying that, we don't know if we actually want to continue using the photo of Trump with his fist in the air, because that actually, you know, kind of lionizes. This is the same legacy press that for 8 years, and even in the months leading up to those 8 years, Barack Obama was in a halo every shot. Kane, yeah. I'm not crazy. Nope. Tell the folks that.
Oh, yeah.
Every foot, like, he had the logo behind him,
Hope,
or something.
Remember Hope?
Yeah.
Remember all those
the
things?
Shepherd
all the
Fairy
posters?
Poster.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, my gosh. Any chance they got to, like, put a halo behind this guy's head, they did it. And then the same media is like, well, I just don't know if we want to continue using the photograph of Trump with his fist in the air because it looks like it could be helpful to him. Are you kidding me? Seriously? I mean, it looks like it could be helpful. It's an iconic photo of when a leftist, and don't give me the whole, well, he was a registered Republican. You mean after donating to Act Blue? Isn't one of his parents a Democrat? And by the way, what does that matter? Because we all know that Republicans love to demonstrate their love for other Republicans by shooting them. You see, like, this is stupid. Clearly, he didn't like Trump, because usually people who like other people don't try to kill the person that they like. It's pretty elementary, right? So you can sit here and try to fluff everybody with all your other nonsense, but that's not going to, that doesn't work. That dog doesn't hunt. It doesn't work. And also it feeds into the theory that Democrats, it's not theory, it's a fact. Democrats are telling everyone to go into these closed primaries and register as a Republican. And then that's, and then go and try to destabilize the Trump campaign in the primaries. I mean, that was an actual, they legit talked about doing that and told people how to do it. But the media doing this media, yeah, they said, oh, we can't. Newsbusters had a roundup of it. Oh, it's a spectacle. He's mining it for support. We just can't. We can't run photos of him. They don't want to run photos of the Trump fist in the air. Because they don't, you know, they like the pure media savvy of the Trump fist, a fist pump photo. And they keep talking about this. Oh, the powerful. The photo editor. It was an unnamed editor. It was over at Axios. And they were the ones who said that it's a photo that could further their agenda, despite the photographer's intent of capturing a news event. That is what this, that's what they had said. Wow. One photographer said it could become a, quote, propaganda machine and make him a martyr. Again, I will go back to all of the Obama halo photos. All of the Obama, you know, maybe if you didn't want to martyr him, you shouldn't have tried to kill him. Seems pretty elementary, right? Mm-hmm. We're not doing this. By the way, the guy who took this, Evan Vucci, should get, he's an Associated Press. He should get a Pulitzer for this. For that photo. I think he will. Everyone's already saying that he probably will. But that is insane that this is what they are concerned about. They're not concerned about rhetoric. They're not concerned about the fact that, oh, well, he's, you know, he's, they're both, people are both sidesing it, or the, this is the second time someone tried to gun down Republicans. They're worried about how the photo could actually affect people's perception of Trump. The photo? What about the rhetoric that, I mean, somebody tried to kill Trump? You know, which could be a consequence if you tell people enough that the guy is a, quote, existential threat, or that he is a, quote, threat to democracy. By the way, as Jack Black said at a fundraiser, so don't let Jack Black off the hook. Everyone's like, oh, Jack Black is trying to get ahead of this with Tenacious D. STFU. No, he's not. Or UF, right? Yeah. No, FU's right. He's not. He's trying to cover his backside. He spoke at that fundraiser, Kane, and he was like, yeah, if he wins, it's a threat to democracy. He's part of the problem. He's only mad that Kyle Gass has bigger balls than Jack Black, because Kyle Gass said what Jack Black thinks but is too afraid to think or too afraid to say because he wants that money from Hollywood. He wants to fleece everyone and act like he's on both sides of it. No, he thinks the same thing. He said it at a private fundraiser that was hosted by Julia Roberts and George Clooney for Joe Biden back when they realized, I mean, they all knew that Joe Biden was like barely sentient, but they were still going along with the idea until they were caught, right? Now, Jack Black, Kyle Gass, at least, you know what? Kyle Gass is an incendiary jackass, but he has bigger balls than Jack Black because he said what both of them were thinking and both of them believe. So I don't give, I'm not cutting anybody any slack, not at all. No, this, for the media to do this, unbelievable. No, it is believable, actually. Okay, and did you see the guy's, I can't remember what that dude's name is on MSNBC. Did you see his face? Well, you know, that's a legitimate fact. No, it's not. It is not, you halfwit. They're worried not because someone tried to murder him, not because news came out that there is an Iranian plot to kill him, but that his ear bandage, by the way, how else do you expect to bandage an ear that's been split in half by an assassin's bullet? You know, all of you medical professionals, they're mad because it's a reminder of what all of this did to him. They're mad. Cry harder. Golly. Just asinine. Absolutely asinine. However much you loathe the media, you don't loathe them enough.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.